Hallelujah. This is the first gathering as a church. The day of the Lord. Amen? Amen. The beginning of the week. Hallelujah. I really thank you for just worshiping God today. I just want to thank you for giving yourself to the Lord this first Sunday in worship. Amen? Amen. Thank you for doing that. The Lord will continue to bless you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something that the Lord has put in my spirit to share with you today. Amen? The Lord has put in my spirit to share with you today that will carry us from now till the end of this year and even as long as we live in this world. Hallelujah. It has changed my life. It has helped me. But I'm still learning. I'm still learning. So this first Sunday, as we celebrate a new year, it's good we set the beginning of this year with something that will carry us through the mountains and to the valley and be successful to the end of next year. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's a key. I will use the word a key because Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. But this key is a very powerful key. It opens and it closes. That's what keys do. Amen? Amen? So there are many keys, but we want to begin this Sunday with this particular key that will carry us through this year. The Lord kept bringing it over and over. And actually, it's so interesting. Sometimes it doesn't happen all the time, but each time God gives me a word, during our prayer downstairs, somebody brings it up. So we're praying downstairs. Literally, the scripture, Pastor Victor prayed it. And without knowing. Before we go into the word of the Lord today, let me prepare your hearts why this key is very important. Amen? Amen. Why this key is very important as believers. How many of you realize that God in Genesis created so many things? He created animals. He created the stars, the moon. He created the galaxies. He created a lot of things. He created everything that we know today. Then he says, let us make man in our own image and likeness. Amen? And it made us different. So there's something in science that separates everything God has created and giving them their place, their right, their legal place of living in the earth. It's called DNA. God created the lions. This is, you see it in 1 Corinthians 15. They are called terrestrial beings. God created the lion, the leopard, the elephants, all this. He created them and he gave them a place to live. And their DNA is designed in such a way that where they live is where everything is provided for them. That's where their life is. Everything, their wildlife. He made the cows, the goats, Then he made also the birds. He made the birds with a different DNA and he gave them wings. So the birds are able to fly and enjoy the atmosphere of their habitation. No matter how strong you are, if you try to chase a bird because you're bigger than the bird, to try to kill that bird, you can't fly. Because that's his domain. The only way you can kill that bird is to set a trap. You have to snare the trap. God not only created the terrestrial beings, the lions and things, and gave them their habitation, he also created the fish, what they call the things that live in the waters or the sea, and they have their DNA. They can't fly, they can't live in dry ground, but they live in the water 24/7. He gave them a special thing that makes it possible for them to live in the water. If I ask any of you that is very powerful, just go and look at a fish. Joshua is a fisherman. And you try to go into the water and say, let me fight that fish because I'm bigger than that fish. How long? The fish will just go like this. You can't last in the water for but a few seconds, few minutes. If you chase that fish in the water, you cannot, because that's not your habitation. The only way you can kill that fish is to set a trap. And the fish eats the bait and you take him out. Amen? Amen. So the Bible talks about the glory of the sun is there. The glory of the moon and the stars. God created them to function for what is called them to function. But for them to function and to please the purpose of God, they have to be in their habitation. So that there is night, there is day. Everything God created was by design. And everything has their habitation. Their habitation, you're going to see very soon, is where everything God has destined for them is provided. Their security, everything. God created man. And he says, let's make man in our own image. But the reason man is made with a different DNA in the image of God is so that the habitation of man will be the presence of God. So when God created man in his own image, the only thing he gave man was just a self-will. Meaning God will not control any man that is created. He gave them free will. So with this free will, God's presence covered man. And the only problem is that because of that free will, God also, from the fallen angel Lucifer, gave him permission to find out from Adam and Eve what they want. Do they want God? Or do they want something else? Just like if you go fishing, or if you want to catch birds that are in the air, you have to find a bait. If you want to catch fish, you have to use a bait. If you want to take anything out of your habitation, you have to use a trick. You have to be smart. You have to trick them. So the devil is a trickster. The Bible calls him a serpent. He knew, because he fell from the presence of God, he knew exactly what can take you out of God's presence. It's your self-will. So he came to them and he tricked them. We're not going into that today. He tricked them. And when he tricked them, he made them believe it's okay to live the way you want. Do it the way you want, but disobey God. Don't worry about God. There's no consequence for disobedience. So he tricked them, and they saw that, wow, what he's saying is really good. So just like we do with birds and fish, they eat the bait. And that bait pulled away the presence of God from man. For the first time, man saw physically for the first time, they could see they were naked. Before they were clothed in God's presence. and they experience God's glory. God created man, 1 Corinthians 14, for his glory, for his presence. So that's where the separation started. Ever since that time, the focus of the fallen man has been physical. And we lost reality of the spirit. So that's how God, man lost the presence of God. So now God leaves it for every man through generation who really wants his presence to look for it. And several people have gone through that. So I want to use this to prepare your minds to set the atmosphere for this key. Amen. We lost the presence of God. The presence of God is the glory. When you start entertaining the presence of God, the glory of God comes, meaning who he is. And that's what we lost. So like I said about the fish, all these other things that I just told you about, your security and everything. The presence of God, the glory of God, solves every human problem. Because that's God coming to your situation. There are many things that from the fall of man, we cannot fix. Because Satan now is the God of this world. And there's an opposition, there's a resistance. So there are things we can do manually, physically, like our jobs and so. But there are things that engage us spiritually that until you really are saved and you understand help from God, it can never be fixed humanly. Only God can do it. Amen. Amen? Amen? So we lost the presence of God. Now, the presence of God finally was restored through Abraham, through several people, but God chose to use Abraham as a father of faith, to raise up a nation of faith and make a covenant with that nation, to use them as an example of a people set apart that has God's presence apart from the rest of the world. And gave them conditions for maintaining the presence of God. Amen? Hallelujah. But there's one key that opens and maintains the awareness and the reality of the presence of God. Amen? And that's the key we want to begin this Sunday with. And the reason for this key is because God is allowing and is building the pace, and I've shared it last year and previous, is gradually stirring up the world. And it's going to continue to stir up and shake things up. And it says as it continues, the shaking will get so strong. But there will be people that cannot be shaken because they are not building their future or their life on the wrong habitation. They have a foundation because they know who they are. Amen. So I want to share with you about this key. And I thank God for our dear media people that will be helping me. I want to use a PowerPoint to introduce this key, and then we'll focus on things. We're going to cover this for a few weeks so that we can get it, but we want to just touch it today, just touch a few things. So the key is worship. You know, if you walk out of this place, you go everywhere, you know, Walmart, we're in our human jacket and we are busy, we're focusing on the things of the world. But everywhere you go, the presence of God is there. But because we are shopping, we are eating, it doesn't look like it's there because we're in our humanity. But when you go in a closet or two or three people gather and say, let's just praise God, Why do you feel his presence or feel a connection to his presence? Because you opened something. You shifted from the natural to the spiritual. And one of the things that shift atmospheres from the physical or from the natural easily to an awareness that God is in this place is worship. And it's not just worship. What we're about to look at this season, worship is not a Sunday thing. It's the only way a believer lives. It's a lifestyle. Amen. It's not a weekly event. It's the lifestyle that connects you and makes you aware, as the fish is in the water, that you literally are covered in the presence of God. Amen? So let's look at a few scripture. Before we do that, we're going to look at worship briefly. But I want to cover a few things we're going to look at this week, and then we'll come back to worship. These few weeks, we're going to look at what worship will cause you to experience, what it will reveal to you, what it will do to you, and how worship will empower you to overcome. Amen? So, Lord gave me a few things. So, we're going to be looking at each of these topics. The first aspect of worship, we'll come back to this sign later. The first is W. Let's go to the next. The Word of God. I want to use that acronym of worship to lay some foundations, and then we'll come back to worship. First, the Word of God, like was prayed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Can you believe that? That God and his Word are one, and we have access to it. We're going to look at that in detail. The Bible says the Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It talks so much about the Word became flesh. Everything about the Word. So we're going to look at the Word. And we're going to look at why the enemy comes to steal the Word from people. People don't study. They don't read the Word anymore. What you get on Sunday morning is just an appetizer. It's staring. Without a devotional lifestyle in the Word, this world already has you caged. Babylon. Let's go to the next slide. Worship, the next word in worship is O. The Bible says, by the disobedience of Adam, the whole human race entered into sin. And by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, God restored righteousness, restored us back to the presence of God. Adam took us out, God, Jesus brought us back through obedience. 1 Corinthians, if you read more in Corinthians, it talks about, it says, when your obedience is fulfilled, then you are able to overthrow disobedience. We're going to look at how obedience, the second scripture that goes with it, Jeremiah 1:5. Until you're born again, you can't even understand that God has ordained you for a purpose, even before you came into this world. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God had a plan. Ordained means he's already established what you're supposed to accomplish. The purpose for which you were born. The purpose for which you're here. Before you enter that purpose, you have to be born again. That DNA of Christ has to be in you. And then you start understanding your purpose if you stay in obedience of what the Word will say to you. Because the Word is the roadmap. It's the will of God. Let's go to the next one. Worship begins with W, Word. The second is obedience, or ordained with a purpose. The third is R, redeemed, by the blood of the Lamb. Revelation talks about 5 and 9. It says, they worship the Lamb. the Lion of Judah that has overcome. And why did they worship him? They were saying, unto you has been given all things, this glory, power, might, wealth, that. He said, because you have redeemed us by your blood from every nation and tongue and tribe and this. He didn't just bring them out of Egypt in the physical. He had a plan and a purpose for a finished end. Promised land. You redeem us, not just for us to get saved and sit in church. You raised us and brought us into your royal kingdom to be priests and to be kings. We're going to look at this. So all these topics will just take us at least a Sunday to touch them. I pray you don't miss. If you miss, you can always check it online. That's how we're going to look at the power of redemption. Why are we God's children? Next slide. When we are redeemed, our identity changes. Because we wear this human jacket, many times we just forget that we have, by being born again, we actually carry sonship in us. We carry a DNA. First John says, behold, what manner of love God has bestowed upon us that we will be called the sons of God. He said, we don't know how we look like because we're wearing a jacket. He said, but one thing for sure, when we see him, we are no different from exactly the way he is in his word. First Peter talks about we are a royal priesthood. Because no matter how you were born into this world, no matter how you came into this world, Jesus paid the price so there will not be any excuse to what the devil did to condemn your past. He made a way, redeemed, gave you his blood. Every believer has been elevated to a royal bloodline. Amen. But not every believer accesses that understanding. What's the next one? Sonship. He says, Romans 16 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, if we are sons and daughters, what kind of, he said we are royal priesthood in Peter's. He says we are heirs of God. We're not just heirs of God, we are joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs means whatever he did when he was in this earth, he left us a legacy. He left us authority. He left us power. We are partnering with him. He's in heaven. We are here. But in the spirit, we are serving the same kingdom. He is the King of Kings. And he's deputizing us to be ambassadors to rule and to set the pace in the earth. We are joint heirs. And so if we are joint heirs, we are God's children. Amen? Amen? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. It's God's special possession that you may declare the praise of God on earth. You're called, we've been called out of darkness, that's the world, into his wonderful light. Amen? We are no more slaves to the systems of this world. We are now set free to live for Christ and for the things of the kingdom. Only if we can access it. What's the next one? So if you look at worship, we're using this acronym this year, W-O-R-S-H as I, inheritance. My brothers and sisters, it's not everything our money can buy. There are things money cannot buy. Amen? Amen? Money cannot buy the blood of Jesus. Amen. And the blood of Jesus has given us the blood of his Father, inheritance. If you think about any man that has wealth or has estate, using that as an example, or has inheritance, when that man dies, his heirs, his children, they inherit it, not because they worked for it, but because they are his blood. There are things that God has given us authority. You can go to Psalms, you can read it. He says, Psalms 2, ask of me and I will give you the things that you receive by inheritance, but you have to demand for it. How can you demand for something you don't know what the will of God is? So we're going to look at inheritance from God's perspective. Amen? For example, this building, we did not pay for it, we inherited it. We didn't pay a penny for it, we inherited it. Example, a lot. I didn't pay for my car, I inherited it. There are things money cannot give to you. We have doctors. They are God's mercy hands. But when doctors come to their limit, God has provided room for miracles. That's an inheritance God gave. He says the children's bread. Why are we not experiencing it? We're going to be looking on how do we access this. All the key is all in worship. What's the next one? P. We now come back to the whole reason we lost the presence of God. It's all about His presence. And His presence brings us into alignment with His promise. There was a man, many people lost. The Bible says that one man found the key. And even Jesus used the man's name in Revelation chapter 3. He says, I have the key of David. Isaiah prophesied. He says, this is the key of David. When Jesus came and left, he says, I have the key of David. God looked at a man in history that said, it's one thing I'm looking for, Psalms 27 verse 4. Only one thing we lost in the earth. And that one thing has the capacity to open everything for us. And that one thing we lost was the presence of God. That's one thing I'm going to seek after. I'm going to look for it until it becomes who I am. And He entered into it. Even in the Old Testament. It's called the key of David. That key, the presence of God, will take you from a shepherd boy and make you a ruler. God took all of us from where we are through His blood. He's already declared it that you are kings. We are kings. Amen. If we know how to access it. I was in a foreign country. And we just finished a crusade. And we're in a plane trying to come back to U.S. And somehow the plane we're in, the president of that country was in the front. They chartered the plane. They put all of us, the rest of us, at the back. And as we're in the air, now I understand why the Lord did that, because He wanted to use that to change my mindset. You know, for you to be able to learn something, you have to be taught. God doesn't teach us by knowledge. He teaches us by practical things. I heard the voice of the Lord says, go and see the president. See which president. They will arrest me. You can't even cross. I mean, the security, the place is closed there. Security people in the plane were in the air thousands of miles away. Say, go see the president. After I struggled, I heard a voice says, do you know who you are? He says, now, just go as an ambassador of the kingdom. And see what that looks like. So I put that in my mind. And I asked to see the president. I sent for his chief protocol officer. And to my surprise, the two people sitting by my side, I didn't know they were foreign ministers of the country. When I was sitting with them, they were looking at me like, they can't even look at me because they were dignitaries. And I was just sitting by the window and they were there. Just, you know how this people, you know, look proud and everything. Just sitting there, they were just dignified. They didn't want to do anything. As soon as I said, I want to see the president. They looked, they said, who is this? Worship does that. You're going to see it very soon as we focus on worship today. You worship what you see in the spirit, not this atmosphere. So they went, and of course, to cut the long story short, they were so shocked. Who is this person looking like this, asking for the president? The person, the hostess were afraid, but because it's God, I saw God moved on them, and they just talking to each other, afraid. So in their mind, they're like, if we don't go, we don't know who that guy is. So they went. 2-3 minutes, the chief protocol officer came out screaming, Michael, you here? You here? And every eyes was looking, and I walked with them. Pastor Yinka and Pastor Grace were in that plane. They saw it. And I went and spent time with the president. Now, that was because of understanding the presence and the inheritance we have. Now, we are going to look at all these things in 2026 because of where the world is going. We have to understand these things. So we're going to break them down through the weeks. Today, we want to look at this key called worship. So let's go back to that worship, the sign worship. We want to look at understanding worship, just that. So if you have your Bibles, let's open to Exodus. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. We'll read from verse 12. If you want to put the scriptures on the screen, that's fine. Exodus 33 verse 12 says, just so to prepare your minds about what's happening here. Here are the children of Israel here. I want you to see this. They are under the presence of God in the wilderness. But look at the difference. God said, leave where they are, come to the mountain. Amen? There is a difference when we are eating hamburger in the restaurant, we are eating rice, we are living our natural life, presence of God is there. But it's a difference when God says, come, and you go into your closets and you say, I worship you. Something changed. You are still the same person, but something has shifted because you opened something. It's called worship. So that's what happened to Moses. God says, come. So Moses came and the glory of God enveloped him. And the people were there. And in the presence of God, listen to this. Moses has seen miracles in Egypt. He has seen angels work miracles. He has seen the Red Sea part. He has seen all the plagues. He has seen Pharaoh bow. He has come out of Egypt with mighty hands. He has never experienced God's presence that way. For the first time, Moses saw God in a way, even though God hid himself. And when Moses experienced this, he knew this was what was missing. And this is what Moses said. I want to read to you. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, born again, and hast also found grace in my sight. Verse 13. Now therefore, this is prayer now, Moses. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. So Moses knew his ways. The children did not. Show me now thy way, that I may know thee. The fact we are born again doesn't mean we know. There are processes. See? That I may know thee. That I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. Listen to this. And God said this to Moses in answer to his prayer. My, verse 14, my presence shall go with thee. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give you what? Rest. Verse 15. And he said unto him, this is Moses' prayer now. When he tasted this, he said, if your presence don't go with me, don't take me any further. And he said this, exactly what I started introducing you with. The difference between the fish and the lion and others, Moses said it right here. It says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be distinguished, separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. My brothers and sisters, Moses just went back and explained Genesis. He went back and explained why God called Abraham. He went back, he says, now I get it. The difference between the world and us is your presence. You can't say you are born again, you're a Christian, and just keep living without knowing what you're born again for. Why you're born again. It's a restoration to the Father's presence. Moses cried out. And as God was revealing himself, if you quickly look at Exodus 34 verse 8, I want you to see that really quick. 34 verse 8, it says, and Moses made haste. I didn't read a lot of scriptures there. As God was revealing himself, not everything, was revealing himself to Moses. As when Moses saw. My brother, sister, we're going to look more into worship. You know, worship has three major levels. It has, this is not me, it's God that did it. And he used the blueprint of the tabernacles to explain it. The tabernacle has the outer court, it has the holy place, it has the holy of holies. And it's a buffet. Jesus has cleared those parts. But our flesh, our soul determines how far we want to go. There's a fleshly worship. There's a soulish worship. But there's a spirit to spirit. God says, God is looking for those who will connect spirit to spirit. That's what Moses experienced. And as he experienced it, he saw. He fell on his face, flat. Why didn't he do it before then? He was consumed with the glory of God. Isaiah saw. Isaiah says, saw something he's never seen before. When he was in worship, he was in prayer. It changed his life. So, fast forward really quick. After God now established his presence through the Ark of the Covenant with the children of Israel as a symbol of his presence, the Ark of the Covenant, God told Moses to create that. And that became a symbol of God's presence. My brothers and sisters, Israel had the Ark. Those that understand the Ark, they entered into God's presence. Some that did not like the days of Eli, they abused it. It was taken away. The glory was lost. Then, when it got to where the worldly people were, they were dying. Things were happening. Until finally David came. It was David that restored what was lost. The presence of God. Amen. A building without the presence of God is a building. The presence of God is what separates us as believers. So, in the days of David, I want us to quickly see this, Psalms 27, verse 4. Psalms 27, verse 4, in the days of David, I want you to see this. We'll read from verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they will stumble and fall. He's talking. Verse 3. Though a host, he's talking about an army, something that will create fear. And then he gave us the secret. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold his beauty and to hear his voice, so I can do his will. Why? Why is it important to be in the presence of God? Verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted above my enemies. I don't know very few people in the Bible that went through the kind of trouble David went through. But David finished his assignment, finished well, left this world healthy, well, and laid a foundation for Christ to come, the root of David. We can go on and on because of time. Today, we're looking at David had a key, and that key was worship. You can see the Psalms, you can see, we don't want to look into that, we'll look into that in future, how David set up worshipers 24/7. Because his life was a life of worship. When he became king, he says, I cannot bring the ark unless I prepare a place God can be worshipped 24/7. He set it up, paid the worshippers. And the Bible says the glory of God came there and stayed and shone in Israel. David had flaws, but he discovered the secret to God's heart. And God says, I found me a man that knows what my heart desires. Now, for time, let's look at a few things that worship does. Worship. Living a life of worship, not just coming to Sunday. See, if you worship God at home, when you come here, you can't wait for the worship team to step into their place. A few things in worship. The first thing, it's not in this order, but these are some of the benefits, the promises, what happens when you live a worship lifestyle. First is change. Change. 2 Corinthians 3:18, where it talks about Moses. So when Moses went up to the In 2 Corinthians 3, he said, when he went up to the mountain and he saw God, when he came down to the people, the Bible says he did not know that his face has changed. He was glowing like a light and the people didn't want to see it. So he said, when he goes back to God, he takes the veil away and he goes in the spirit. So I said, but now God has brought us to a better covenant. And Paul says there's a change that the Spirit of God brings. And this is true worship. He says, We behold him. And when we behold him, he says we are changed. And we are changed from glory to glory into that image of sons of God. My brothers and sisters, I want to show you something. My brother, if this is a mirror, this is a mirror. Amen? How many of you know that the only time you can see your face is when you look at a mirror? Amen? You cannot see yourself unless you look at the mirror. Do you know why we don't change? We're always looking at people. We are always looking at people. He's not doing it this way. I'm doing it better. He's not doing it that way. I'm doing it better. I am this. I am that. You're comparing yourself to yourself. And all these things inside of us, we don't surrender like Isaiah. But when Isaiah looked at the mirror and he saw God, he says, "Who is me? I'm so corrupt. God, take this thing out of me." You cannot change if you don't see Jesus. It's not possible. Keep looking at people, you feel better or you feel less. You feel insecure or you feel pride. But when you see him, you change. You change. You'll be delivered. The things that are hidden, that you're fighting with your neighbor about, and you're defending yourself about, when you see him, you are naked. The only time you change. It happened to me. The Bible says, looking to the perfect law of liberty. Looking to the mirror. The word of God is the only mirror. We preach. Pastors preach. People preach. Everybody go and live the way they want. When you live this Bible and you study it, you can live the way you want. If God speaks to you through this word, you cannot live the way you want. Because now he's telling you what he requires. First, change. Worship exposes you to the presence of God. Worship brings you to the place where you encounter God in the spirit. And when you stay long enough a life of worship, God will heal you. God will change you. People carry things for 30 years because they are still comparing themselves with people. God cannot be mocked. If you truly are a believer, there is no way God can deliver you. You have to see. Two, protection. You know, the Bible says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman is in vain. Anything can happen to a city. Look at Maduro that was saying this or saying that. Let me just use that example because it's just current in the news. Had a fortress, had everything, and thought he seemed formidable. But somehow, he was taken by surprise. Unless the Lord keeps you, man, Satan can have access to you. Protection. David discovered Psalms 91. He says, he that dwells in that presence is under the shadow. A thousand will fall, 10,000, but God becomes your refuge. He experienced it with Saul. Saul took the whole army of Israel, chasing one man, chasing him from place to place. He couldn't touch him. Why? Because David wrote Psalms 91. The presence of God is all I want. Protection. Go and read Psalms 91. It's worship. Number three, provision. Hallelujah. You can write this down, 2 Chronicles chapter 13. The ark is the presence of God. When they take the ark to other people's house, they don't know what to do with it, and it was causing problems for them. Sickness, death, that, because they didn't know how to handle God's presence. People were dying. So finally, David was afraid. How do we bring the ark? But before we bring it, let's take it to the house of Obed-Edom. 2 Chronicles 13, go study 13, 14. Write it down. They took it to the house of this man and put the ark there because of time. How do you host God's presence? How do you really manage Holy Ghost? How do you really relate to God living in you? The blueprints are there. This man was a worshiper. It's written all over. If you go study his life, Obed-Edom was one of the worshippers. He made room. They put him in his house. If you read the scripture, it's just for time. He says the ark stayed a few months in Obed-Edom's house. He hosted him. He was a worshiper. And the Bible says God blessed the house of Obed-Edom. And David says, yes. And they went and figured out what is the right way to host God. And finally, David brought the ark. When you host God, he becomes your provider. He will bless you. He will bless the work of your hands. He will bless your business. He will bless your health. He will bless your water. He will bless everything, because the presence of God is blessing if you host him with the right heart. If you look at in provision also, we'll get to that very soon. In provision also, if you look at the present, what the presence of worship does, if you go to 2 Chronicles verse chapter 20, you all know that popular story about Jehoshaphat. Amen? Jehoshaphat, he had enemies coming from here, here, here. They have conspired. Israel was too small for them. And they are writing him a letter. They are coming to wipe them out. Fear came. They fasted. Fear is still there. They prayed. Fear is still there. As they were crying, God says, worship. Just praise, just worship. Because worship brings you in unity with God. Creates an atmosphere where God, if you stay long enough there, you hear his voice, he will do something. So they went with worship. You all know the story. The part we look at is that they destroy the enemy. But look at what worship does. Worship doesn't just overthrow your situation. He brings the spoils of war. Provision. They took 3 days in carrying the wealth that came out of a warfare through worship. I've told this story many times, but it's happened in a different way. We had to pay rent at TLRA. That's when God changed my life about worship. The rent was so due because I was raising the money for myself. The church can't afford it. A lot of things we do here, we have to trust God. And I thank God for those that are giving. We do a lot and we need help. So we were at that point and we couldn't pay the rent. It was very high and it was going to the second month. And the owner now still, I said, you must pay this thing. This thing. I can't, because my mortgage is due. So we had to come up with a lot of money. Thousands of dollars. He's been patient enough. The time he was waiting, I didn't tell the church people, I didn't say anything, because they were, you know, I fasted, I prayed, I was crying, God, we're going to be disgraced. You know, we made this commitment, you said we should be there, now it's going to be a laughing matter, this man is going to let everybody know we've not paid for. I mean, it was bad. I was crying, I was praying, nothing happened. One day in church, in the building, we're worshiping, we're praying, just like we're doing today. God says, why don't you just worship? I've heard your cry. So I went and knelt by the corner there in that place. And I lifted my hands. And as I lifted my hands to worship, that's what I'm saying. If you see the mirror, something lifted off my heart. And I understand what it means, the peace that passeth understanding. I didn't see the result, but the fear, the trouble left my heart. It was peaceful. I left there. On Wednesday, a woman called me running. He says, I must see you. Meet me at your office in Mount Zion East. She ran there. She said, I was so afraid. God woke me up at night. I had to run to the bank. I can't give you a check because I don't want a delay. I could not sleep. And she brought in all the money that was needed in cash. I fell on my face after she left. I felt Jesus was right there. And the rent was paid in full. Worship makes God your provider. The next one is defense or deliverance. When you are a worshiper, God fights, God defends you, God delivers you. Just quickly for time, Acts chapter 16, verse 25, you can read that. It's the story of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas have been moving as evangelists in this point, apostolic work, and they didn't know where to go because God was blocking them. Suddenly, Paul received a vision, clear, go to Philippi. They got there and all they faced was trouble. Trouble, trouble, to the point they beat them up because of the exploit and threw them in jail. When that happens to you, the people around you will say, he missed God. That's why this thing is happening to him. They will say all kinds of things because the enemy was so mad what was happening there. Paul has already passed that stage in his early life. Paul is now at a matured level in his calling. He said, Silas, let's worship God. My brothers and sisters, if worship is not your lifestyle, when you are in the valley, you can't worship God. It's easy to worship God when everybody's clapping here. When you are really going through trouble, instead of worship, you are mad at God. You're complaining. You are angry. Because that's what the intention of the problem is supposed to do. But when you start living a life of worship, when trouble comes, that's when you even, like David, go to God more. You are my help. Where is my hope? I have no hope but you. Where is my trust? You worship. Acts 16:25, God vindicated Paul's. God broke the jail. God delivered him. God defended him. The place shook. And today, that church was planted and called the Church of Philippi. The next one is God will fight your battles. When you worship, I just mentioned that for time, 2 Chronicles 20. They tried everything. God told Josaphat, if you worship, I will fight. They worship, God fought. You know how you know God fought? All the thousands of army, by the time they got there with worship, God has already finished the battle. Hallelujah. It's not easy. Amen? Let me tell you why it's not easy. You are going to see the enemy that is bigger than you. And you're just worshiping God. Today's word, they'll say you've lost your mind. It's a suicide attempt. That's what they call people that walk by faith. You're crazy. It's faith. The difference between faith and presumption is faith never fails you. The last one is GPS. GPS today is our global positioning system. It's not here, it's up there. Whatever, where it's situated. But that thing, if you don't know the road to New York, you don't know the road to Alabama, you don't know the road to wherever you're going, the house, all you need is take the address, amen? Put it in that GPS, and the thing will take you through. You remember Siri, go here, stop here, go there. If you miss your way, he will find another way to take you. GPS. God said to the children of Israel, I will go before you. I will lead you with the cloud by day, the fire by night. But how does that happen? You have to be a worshiper to host the presence of God. How does that work? Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, those that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Why? He says, he gave a description of what it means, what God does when you're in his presence. Say, because they will mount their wings like eagle. Worship takes you out of your strength and carries you in the strength of the Lord and gives you rest. Eagles don't fight like every other bird. Eagles know the wind direction because they wait. And eagles mount. Mount means they put their wings and the wind carries them. Ministry is not what you do. Ministry is what God does through you. Because first you minister to him and then he can use you. God says, I will go with you so you can have rest. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit. So my brothers and sisters, the benefits of worship: change, protection, provision, defense, deliverance, fight your battles, and lead you into 2026. If it's your lifestyle. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. You make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way. That you do just what you say in your time. In your time. In your time. You make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, please show me every day as you're leading me your way that you do just what you promise in your time. Father, bring us back to you. Bring us back to you. Bring us back to you. Throw us back to you. Do not let us go. For you are the reason for life. Our defense, our protection, our provider. You make things better with you. Emmanuel, bring us 2026, a church, a house of your presence is a miracle center. Amen. We give you glory. We give you honor. Let every heart, let your word sit on our. And may this season, may you give us the grace to establish a closet and make room just to worship and to wait on you. Teach us. We honor you. We glorify you. And we thank you. Go before us, go with us into this year. Yes, with your presence. We thank you. In Jesus' name. While you're still standing in the mood of prayer, I want to pray a blessing over you through a music that will be played right now. Just receive the blessing as you listen to it. In Jesus' name. Happy New Year.